It's a bonus episode. We're talking Dungeons & Dragons with the voice of your childhood, Katie Lee. Hit it. It was the 1980s. Everyone wondered who shot JR. Sandra Day O'Connor was nominated as the first female Supreme Court justice, and six youths were transported to a realm of fantasy, magic, and danger. I'm your host, Jerry D, with another episode of Totally Rad Christmas, the podcast that talks all things Christmas in the 80s. Toys, movies, specials, music, and fads. If it was gnarly during Christmas in the 80s, we got it covered. Now, joining me is an extraordinarily special guest. You'll know her from such things as Dungeons & Dragons, Dumbo's Circus, My Little Pony, Muppet Babies, Pound Puppies, Adventures of Gummy Bears, Darkwing Duck, and that's just barely scratching the surface of her extremely impressive acting career. It's the voice of your childhood, Katie Lee. Katie, what's happening?
Hey, Jerry. Merry Christmas.
Well, Merry Christmas to you, too. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing well, thank you. I'm in California and the weather's nice, so I can't complain. It's all good.
Nice. Yeah, the weather's actually pretty decent here in Texas too, but I live in North Texas. I'm originally from South Texas, and we have different pollens in the air that I'm used to, and so my allergies usually tend to get the better of me around this time.
Yeah. I've heard some of my friends get super sick there in Texas around this time, so I'm not going to go there.
Well, if you do, make sure you stop by our store, Decorator's Warehouse. I think you'll like it. It's like Christmas Mecca.
It sounds amazing. It sounds amazing. It's super fun. That's so cool. My house still looks like Christmas. My husband put up all these solar lights and they're still there. So I guess it's going to be all year round, but they're all white, but we don't have any colored ones.
Oh, well, that's okay. I did an episode on Dungeons and Dragons with some acquaintances of mine, and I thought it would be amazing to have you talk Dungeons and Dragons with me because, you know, you were the voice of Sheila.
Yeah.
But before we get into all that, I'd kind of just like to talk to you a little bit about your history, how you get started in voice acting. Like, what was your first major role or what made you want to do it?
Well, I was a good student who talked too much, according to my teachers. And so I suppose that helped.
Yeah.
And as I aged, my voice didn't. So people mentioned that to me. So that went on the chart of possible things I could do. That's basically what happened. Because I am from Southern California, there are people in the industry around here, the industry, as we like to call it. It's not the Christmas lighting industry. It's Hollywood showbiz industry.
Right.
So, I bumped into some people who suggested I try voiceover. And so when I was in college, I thought maybe I could make extra money. So I kind of pursued that, but sort of lightly, and ended up getting my degree in broadcasting. And when I graduated, I was like, okay, like everybody, okay, what do we do to make money? So I had gotten my Screen Actors Guild card in San Francisco where I was going to school. And all the agents said, you really should go to LA because your voice is better suited for animation. And the 80s was a fantastic time to be a grown up who sounded like a kid. So I was just in the right place at the right time, and I pretty much learned on the job. I had improvisational theater training, which I highly recommend. I do coaching now. I do voiceover coaching, especially for character work, and improv is super helpful. Just get your, mind thinking in the now. And because, when we work, we don't have a lot of time to think about anything. It all has to just be really spontaneous. And the first animation job I think I got was on the Mork and Mindy cartoon series. And I thought I would be a regular, but it turned out to just be one episode. But it was enough to get me fired from my day job. So luckily, a show called Pandemonium came along, and that was Marvel Studios. And I got a lead role in that. And that was just one season. But Marvel is who made Dungeons and Dragons. So I think right. that put me on the list of auditioning for Dungeons and Dragons. And so I did. And I got that part.
Right on. Yeah. Hey, that's all that matters, I think. Or at least that's the first step.
Yeah. So that was probably maybe just that might have been my second series as a regular Dungeons and Dragons. Yeah.
Was there anything in particular you did to get into character for Sheila?
No.
Okay, then.
You know, I was really young. Believe yeah. it or not, back then. We're talking, like, what, 40 years ago? Almost 30. I mean, I didn't know a lot. I just knew she was a big sister. And, you know, they give you a little character breakdown. And I guess they, you know, just like the quality of my voice. When they cast for things, too, especially if it's just audio, it's real important that the voices are distinct from each other.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe just my earnestness. I never played Dungeons and Dragons. Okay. I didn't know anything about it, but the show didn't really, you didn't have to know that kind of stuff. Right. So that was good. I can't say that I just got very fortunate.
That's really cool. And a lot of times, because my brother is in the entertainment industry, you know, a lot of times it is just, you know, getting your name out there, just to your foot in the door, that kind of thing. And then it can take off from there. But as far as like your voice goes, is there anything special you do to maintain your voice? Do you have a regimen to keep that up?
No.
Okay. Just wondering.
I'm actually getting a little bit better because as we get older, I think we do get hear that, you know, more affected by allergies and things. So right. My husband is an excellent singer, and he has all kinds of regimens and stuff. Like right. Sometimes I feel like I live with Felix Unger, but it totally is a good thing. He does. And so I'm sort of adopting some of his, like just rinsing my sinuses, which I forgot to do this morning with saline, you know, that sort of thing. And, right. and really, you know, resting your voice. When I was sick, lost my voice. And the only thing that really helped was resting. Because sometimes we do things that strain our voices too. And so we have to recover from that. If you don't, you can hurt yourself. But no, I think as a matter of fact, as I got older, I think my range has expanded and I think I cover about 3 octaves.
Oh, wow.
So I'm quite not necessarily singing, but talking, you know, I have a pretty wide range and it's just the luck of the draw. I'm thankful for that. But yeah you got to be careful. Not to strain or work too hard, or if you're, you know, yelling, supporting your voice. It's usually the stuff I do is more like while I'm working, how to protect my voice.
I see.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure does. Yeah, my brother's he's a singer also. He was an all-state tenor. My other brother was as well. So they're used to, you know, the honey lemon teas and same thing, all the saline and all that stuff. So I was just curious if voice acting needed anything special like that. But
yeah, I think it does. I'm not, you know, well, look, this is the deal. When I started, and we're talking about the 80s, right?
Right, right.
All the work back there was union. We'd go in, we'd drive to go to our auditions. Mm-hmm. It wasn't constant all day long like it is now for people who work from home. Right. If we got a job, it was like once a week, you know?
Oh, okay.
It was just so different. We worked less and got paid more. Now we work more and get paid less. So people do need to be more careful now. It wasn't like we were talking all the time. And right. Even in the 80s, when I was doing a few shows at the same time, like Dumbo Circus Dungeons, My Little Pony, other things were all happening at the same time in the early, so I was working a lot back then, but it's you could get really tired out and you want to be careful. And that's actually when we had a strike in the late 80s, because our sessions were 8-hour sessions.
Oh, wow.
We were allowed to work 8 hours like normal actors who have
right.
their schedule. So we could go into Dungeons and Dragons. We could be there. They could literally have us there for 8 hours if they wanted to. So there wasn't that pressure. Now we went on strike because for 8 hours, some people on certain cartoons were using some very stressful voices, and they felt like the directors right. were putting them through the ringer. So rule number one, never make a rule based on worst case scenario, but this is what we did. So now we have 4-hour sessions, and you know, you can do 2 in a day, and that can be stressful too. So,
right.
But a lot of stuff, you know, I do now is from home, and I just like finished recording about 8 narration scripts before I got on with you. And
oh, wow.
You know, you have to take breaks. And you can only do so much. This is one little body that we have, and we have to take care of it. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't quite the same way back then.
So, you were saying that you were on a bunch of different shows at the same time. Did you have a mm-hmm. particular favorite one, that, like one you just really loved doing?
Well, Muppet Babies. A blast. And that was the same director who did Dungeons and Dragons, actually, Hank Saroyan. Yeah, and I've also worked on a radio show. I've been playing the same character for 35 years on wow. Adventures in Odyssey.
In Odyssey, right.
Yeah, which produced by Focus on the Family. So that's like the biggest blessing that I've been a part of, for sure.
I was just working on one of my inventions here. I'm John Avery Whittaker, but you can call me Whit. And this is Odyssey. Hey, let's see if this thing works.
And that happened. We started that in 87. I don't know. When did Dungeons and Dragons start?
In 83.
83? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's when Dumbo Circus started, too, I think. So... yeah, I was pretty busy back then. Yeah.
You got to do something to kill the time.
Well, it was, you know, I'm so thankful.
Right.
They're not running it anywhere, are they? Oh, you know why? Probably because Disney bought Marvel.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of rights issues involved nowadays.
My whole career was bought up by Disney and is pretty much non-existent except for interview shows like this.
Yeah, there's Muppet Babies, same thing. That was Disney. Dungeons and Dragons. That's quite a few there. Yeah.
Yep. It went in the Disney We'll Never See You Again vault. Okay.
Well, you never know. You never say never. I mean, you know, sometimes if there's enough outcry, they can straighten some of these rights issues out.
Well, there's that underground bunch of people that you probably represent who end up putting everything back on YouTube that we never thought we'd yes. see again.
All those episodes of Dungeons and Dragons are on YouTube. Yes.
Are they? Yeah. So, and there's huge fan clubs that have never gone away, like people writing scripts when the internet... Mm-hmm. This might sound funny to some of your listeners, but maybe not because you're 80s people. When the internet happened, like, and all of a sudden, slowly, there was, you know, I discovered groups. There wasn't Facebook even back then, but fan groups of people mm-hmm. writing scripts. And you know. And then one company made this nice boxed series, which would make a great Christmas present, by the way. It's a big fat red box Dungeons and Dragons collection. And the very last episode that wasn't produced, our big problem was football. We kept getting preempted all the time. Nobody knew when the show was actually going to be on. You know, we didn't. Back then, TV was different. It's not like, oh, I can watch whatever I want to watch whenever I want to watch it. No, it wasn't like that. So anyway, I digress. So this box set, and then they recorded as an audio version with the script as the visual, the Requiem, which was the last
Requiem. Episode. Yeah.
So I got to be a part of that. It was mainly not actors from the show, but I was on it. My daughter actually read for Diana for that.
Nice.
Yeah. And so that's a nice box set with some nice artwork and information of if people are interested. I don't know where they would find it anymore, but it was a pretty rad collection.
Well, the cool thing is you can find a lot of that stuff online. So if you Google long enough, you'll find something, I'm sure.
Google long enough. Yes.
My Google foo skills are not quite as sharp as they used to be, but I can still find some things here and there. did you have like a favorite episode, or was it more just you'd get the script and just kind of just do the script and react?
Well, we didn't see the script till we got to work, right? So we'd read through and then we'd record. I remember one episode, Lori O'Brien came on, and we might have been doing this simultaneous with the Muppet Babies at one point, because I knew her because she did Baby Piggy's voice, and she came on Dungeons and Dragons, and she played I really liked that episode, but I can't remember what it was.
First you'll have to catch me, Karina. You miss me?
Not for long.
I sure hope Bender's other brothers and sisters are more clever than you.
When I'm through with you, I'll deal with your friends.
How would you know what friends are? You don't have any.
You'll never escape.
Thank you, Karina. Your magic seems to be as unreliable as your friendship.
No! Without my ring, I'm defenseless.
You won't mind if I borrow this. One friend to another.
I remember the experience in the studio, but you know, I'm not like watching necessarily.
Oh yeah, yeah, no worries. And I can, I'll add in a little clip here. So that'll
be good. I'm looking forward to hearing it.
Yeah. I think for me, the one that I really, really love is the Dragon's Graveyard. That's the one where the team decides they've had enough and they want to just do away with Venger. So they go all the way to Tiamat's lair in the Dragon's Graveyard to see if she can stop Venger. And they come really close to, you know, killing him until Hank decides he's not going to do it. But
yeah, that's like the Beauty and the Beast thing where he doesn't drop him off the right.
Right. Exactly.
Kind of thing. Yeah. You know, people, you can laugh at me. I don't care. I'm too old to worry about that. I honestly am not always sure I knew what was going on in that show.
that's quite all right. As long as you can deliver the lines, I guess.
Right. This is like too complicated. But I was probably pregnant at one point. Like, I don't know. No, that wasn't until 87. But there are other shows I like slept through. I don't know what it was going on.
Having three kids of my own, I understand.
Yeah.
I don't remember a lot of the year 2012. That's when my first daughter was born. And you know, the first one, you're always so careful and don't know what you're doing. Yeah. It's by the time two and three come around, it's all old hat.
Whole different ball game. Oh, who are you again? My second was born at home. So we didn't take her to see it. She didn't see a doctor till she was about 3 or 4 days old. Days old.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know.
Like,
maybe
wow, that's a long time.
So we got to take her to the pediatrician. But since she was, you know, when you have a baby in the hospital, you have all this stuff with you and you're all prepared. Right. We go to the pediatrician. And I realized I didn't even bring a diaper bag. I forgot. to bring stuff with me with her because I had been with her the whole time. It was our first time in the car. I don't know why we're talking about this. What else do you want to know?
How about this one? How did playing Sheila like compare with your other projects? Like, was it a difference working on Dungeons and Dragons compared to working on Muppet Babies or Dumbo's Circus?
Well, like I said, the same director did Dungeons and Dragons.
Right, on that one.
So that was kind of the same. Well, Muppet Babies, we didn't have celebrities, but on Dungeons and Dragons, we had Adam Rich and Willie Ames. And we did have Barbara Billingsley on Muppet Babies. There's somebody else. Oh, Donnie Most. So, you know, I was a little bit starstruck. I'm like, wow, that was different. I hadn't worked with, I guess, contemporary celebrities. I'd worked in voiceover with some like stars from the past. But that was kind of interesting, being in the same crowd with them. That was different. And I saw Willie a couple of years ago before COVID at Pensacon. I think we're going to do a panel again if we can get Donnie to show up. I've seen Don sing. He's in a big band and he likes to sing now. He was supposed to go with us to Florida and then he was in a play and he's been doing movies. But if we can all get together, I think that's like Adam. I don't know. He's hard to get a hold of. He's around, but it was fun catching up with Willie for sure. But yeah, that part was different.
Okay.
TV stars, you know?
Yeah. Well, you mentioned older stars. June Foray you worked with as well.
Oh, yeah. A lot. Yeah. Saw her a lot, especially on Gummy Bears. Bill Scott and June were on Gummy Bears. Paul Winchell, who I adored.
Yeah.
A lot of people who I found very interesting because they were in old radio. They did radio dramas before they did cartoons, you know, announcers from Chicago and New York who ended up in California and doing stuff. So, you know, really some old comedians, you know, the Maytag repairman, Jesse White, who I don't know if he was on Pandemonium, my first series. So,
oh, wow.
You know, that kind of stuff was quite a thrill. And Will Ryan and I worked with on a lot of shows together, and Will knew a lot of people. Will and I started a show on YouTube a year ago, January, called Tell You Later. So, and he talks about, you know, a lot of the people. He's just like a historian. He's a singer, songwriter, voiceover actor, musician, and his, you know, movie film buff and TV, certain, you know, actors. He just knows about everything. So that's, if people like to hear about trivia, they definitely might want to watch Tell You Later on YouTube. It's pretty fun.
We haven't got a title song for this show, so we're singing this thing instead.
Okay.
It's really just a substitute. Nonetheless, the melody may stay in your head.
Oh, I hope so.
Cause it's a tune.
It's a tune.
You'll love to croon.
You'll love to croon.
Ah, but there's one thing you should know. We have to confess we do not possess a title song for this show.
Ain't it peculiar?
Believe it or not. We haven't got a title song for this show.
Right on. What was the cast like in general? Was there a lot of camaraderie between y'all? Did y'all record
Dungeons
together?
And Dragons?
Yeah.
Well, it was interesting because Tanya, who played Diana, she was like a weightlifter or something. I know her boyfriend was like a bodybuilder at the time. I don't know how she ended up. She wasn't a normal voiceover person. So I didn't really know her that way. Like, she'd come to work, but it wasn't exactly her life. But she was an amazing knitter. She would knit like really beautiful things with really good yarn. So she was fascinating that way. We lost Bob Holt, I think, after the first year, and Sydney too, who played Dungeon Master, Sidney Miller, passed away during the show. So that was kind of a sad thing to have happen. But I think because a lot of those guys were TV stars, we didn't really see each other out of work. They had lots of other things to do. And I'm just this little voiceover person. And some of the other guys were really old. So I think I'm always like lucky to be part of the gang, but I'm not really part of the gang. Like when you're at work, you are, right?
Yeah.
Well, Frank was on the show. Frank, I'd see him a lot at work, Frank Welker. So we used to work a lot together. So we didn't necessarily get together outside of work, you know, because we'd see each other all the time. But, you know, I think we definitely had fun when we were working together. You know, you just never know. I tell people, they don't understand, when you're a voice actor, basically you get fired every day. Just because you're in a series, there's no contract that says you're guaranteed to be in every show. You don't even know if you're going to go. And in your you sign your paperwork and it's for today. It's always like one day at a time. So, you know, I think we hold on to everything loosely in this business.
Gotcha. That's so cool. You got to work with Frank Welker. I mean, like he and Don Messick together, I mean, voiced like just about everything, cartoon animal character.
Hank would have me sitting next to Frank. So we always sat next together in Dungeons and Dragons. Then when we did Muppet Babies, I sat next to Frank. That's when I started crocheting at work and knitting, because it was so hard not to talk to him. He was so fun. I just wanted to goof off and I had to just mind my own business. So I would just be keeping myself busy because it was such a fun group of people. Muppet Babies, we were very close. It was a different ball game in that show. And Frank is just a fantastic human being and super fun. And you know, I just wanted to goof off with him all the time. So I had to keep myself busy.
So nowadays, at least from what I've seen, it looks like a lot of voiceover stuff is done, or voice acting is done individually. Did y'all record back then as big groups?
Oh, yeah. Together? All together all the time. Unless somebody couldn't make it. Because actually, Hank reminded me that when Willie was on the show, he was also, I think, doing Charles in Charge in New York or something. So he had to phone in his line or do stuff. He wasn't with us all the time. And I think when he'd go back and forth, when he'd get to L.A., he'd do his stuff. So sometimes we'd, you know, have to read other people's lines because they were busy doing other things. It wasn't as cohesive a group as like with Muppet Babies because they had different schedules. But yeah, generally whoever was there would be there and we'd record together. Much better that way.
Yeah, I was going to say more honest reactions. Just you can really play off each other a little bit better that way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Totally. And as a matter of fact, I'm teaching a workshop. I think it's May 28th. I have to do some advertising because I do individual coaching and workshops. And my next one is an ensemble workshop. So people get a sense of what it's like to play with other actors and work with other people, because you have to sort of fill in the blanks when you're by yourself and imagine how could this person respond? It's not just my lines. It's always a dialogue. So you've got to think, how could they respond? And can I come up with three different ways of how they could say their line and three different ways of, you know, saying my lines in response to that. So we're going to do a group animation workout and it'll be fun.
Oh, that sounds awesome. Was there a lot of direction given to you as you're recording? Did you usually get a lot of direction? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. Probably. Well, the thing is the directors have the storyboards. I'm not sure they even use those that much anymore, but they could see what was happening. So they would tell us what was going on. They can see the storyboards, for those who don't know, are little like squares on paper with really rough drawings of what's happening in the scene, what the action is. So they'd have to direct us that way. And that you can kind of tell from the story, but are you close to whoever you're talking to? Are you far away? So they know how to direct us, how to deliver the line that's appropriate for the scene.
Very cool. Yeah. And I know storyboards are still used as far as, you know, big films go, but as for something like voice acting, I really have no idea. So it's intriguing that they would do that. I know also they use animatics as well. So mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that's involved.
Yeah, animatics are they're sort of like storyboards. I direct a show that comes from Sweden. So they send the animatics and we have kind of the storyboards. We have the pictures to look at. It's helpful. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we couldn't reproduce everything like we do now with computers.
Right.
So you get one and the director's got it.
Right. Gotcha.
Yeah, I have some drawings of Sheila. I have some cool stuff. I actually got a whole box of these little, here's a little Sheila in my booth. Oh,
that's nobody super can cool. see it.
But yeah, I should send you one of these guys.
That would be amazing.
A company, people, they call them, it has a little hook and it's attached to the head of the little characters and you can just attach them things. It's by Wizards is the name of the company. And there was another company too where I got it from. They sent me a box of these. Actually, I think we opened some on Tell You Later to see what was in there. But I have a little Sheila. So she hangs up here in my booth. And then I've got some of those DVDs and somebody sent me a really nice statue thing of Sheila. They still make all kinds of stuff.
Oh yeah.
Why did I think of that? What was your question?
We were talking about animatics and storyboards and
things. Oh, because I have some. I think I might have a cell, like a one cell from the animation.
Oh, wow.
Because you know Marvel burned down and they lost a lot of
stuff.
They did,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I have some drawings like of her profiles when I used to do presentations back in the day. I still do. But when I first started, we had overhead. So I made overheads to do my
like
presentation. If anybody knows what that means, like clear plastic stuff that gets projected on the wall because we didn't have computers to do that.
Right. Yeah. The lamination, no, transparencies. That's
transparencies.
What they're called.
Yeah. So I have a file of some, you know, drawings of Sheila, the model sheets. So the animators like draw and show how do they look in the front, how do they look sideways. I have some of that artwork.
Totally red.
I'm going to shift gears a little bit here. What's your favorite Christmas movie?
The Bishop's Wife.
Ooh. That's, you don't usually hear that one. It's Cary Grant. Very nice. Yeah.
Yes. Can't go wrong with Cary Grant.
No, you really can't.
I mean, and then of course, Christmas Vacation is up there.
Well,
too.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because I can't really choose. There's three that just depending on my mood kind of cycle.
Uh-huh.
And it's Christmas Vacation, Home Alone, and Scrooged. For some reason.
Oh, I worked on Home Alone, actually. I did the ADR, worked in a loop group and did ADR on Home Alone.
Nice.
Christmas Story is good. It's,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Everybody's
classic.
Favorite. It's funny. The Santa Claus was a big favorite with my kids. We had that on VHS with Tim Allen.
Yeah.
But it was very, my daughter, I'm telling a funny story on her. She would always rewind the scene with him and the doctor where the doctor pokes his belly or something. She just would watch that over and over and over again. Actually, you know what? My favorite Christmas, I forgot. Okay, it's not a movie, but every Christmas, our family tradition is to watch Faye's 12 Days of Christmas. And it's with the dogs from Sesame Street, you know, those Weimarans.
Yes.
That's our family tradition. I have it on DVD. I have it on a USB stick. Now we can see it on YouTube. My kids cannot get away from watching it. It's like, no, we have to watch Faye's 12 Days of Christmas. So I highly recommend that. You should put a link in the notes. That's our,
sure will.
It's so funny. It's only about 25 minutes long. And that is our family viewing tradition.
Season's greetings, happy holidays, and welcome to Faye's house and Faye's 12 days of Christmas, not to be confused with any other 12 days of Christmas. Meet Faye and her family. Faye, you met Faye, Chundo, Batty, and Crookie, the Faye family, and Faye's dog, Buster. They're very excited about Christmas, as you can see.
Nice. For us, yeah, I'm a huge Rankin Bass fan, so we have to watch, of course, Rudolph and Frosty and Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and those are like the ones we have to watch. Otherwise, it just doesn't feel like Christmas, and the kids will remind me, you know, we have to watch Rudolph. All right, we'll sit down and put some.
Your kids are still young enough, obviously, to not say, please don't play that again.
Yeah, the oldest will be 10 in June.
Yeah, so. You're not there yet. No, I have to insist. I have to like practically lash them to the couch to watch Faye with me. But my husband and I still love it. And it's really one of the best kept secrets. I think most people have never heard of this. So I'm happy to give them a plug. That is our one we can't do Christmas without.
Well, I will definitely link to that. But what about a Christmas song or Christmas carol?
Christmas carol. Wow. What's yours?
So it used to be "O Come All Ye Faithful." That was always one of my favorites. They'd sing it as the service would start. And I always really enjoy that. But when my son was born, he was born in October. It was close enough to Christmas that I would sing "Silent Night" as a lullaby to him. So now every time I hear "Silent Night," I think of my son. And so that's my favorite now.
Oh, that's nice.
My family and I would go Christmas caroling all the time. And we would, "Silent Night" was always one of the songs that we would sing at the different houses. And I never liked it, but now it's now my favorite one.
Well, there's a, it's not a Christmas carol. I have a favorite Christmas song. You're asking me, I'm giving you all weird answers, right?
No.
Amy Grant's song. And it's "Breath of Heaven."
Oh, yeah.
I love it, but I love, if people here are animation fans, E.G. Daly, who's on the Rugrats, she's also a singer and songwriter, but I heard her sing that song and it was amazing. If you can hear her version of "Breath of Heaven," I mean, Amy Grant's is good too, so, but very, very moving.
Be with me now.
Cool. I don't think I've heard her version of it. I've of course heard Amy Grant. It's one of the ones they play all the time. But I'm gonna go see if I can track that down,
find EG's. Yeah, I have it, I think, on a CD, but I saw her sing it and I was like, oh my goodness, so good. But other than that, I don't know, I grew up in the Episcopal church, so we had a Latin song that for some reason I really thought was cool. I don't even know what it's called. "The snow lay on the ground, the stars shone bright when Christ our Lord was born on Christmas night. Venite adoremus Dominum." So I like that one.
Pretty. That's very pretty. I'm Catholic, so I should know that, especially the Latin part. And of course, I know what you're saying. That's the invitatory from Christmas Matins there, "Venite Adoremus," but and part of "O Come Ye Faithful." But that particular melody, I don't recognize. It's very pretty, though. It's really nice.
"Venite Adoremus," come let us adore him. That's what it means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Let's adore
it combines
the Lord.
Yep. It combines the best of some of all the carols, right?
I like it. It's really sweet. It's just a nice little kind of lilting hymn. But it does make me wonder, What would you say would be your happiest memory or moment of voice acting in general, or Dungeons and Dragons in particular?
My happiest?
If you can think of one, yeah.
Probably my happiest Dungeons and Dragons was the first recording session, because that was so neat to meet all those people. But the happiest voice acting in general, you say? Is that the question?
Mm-hmm.
I love what I do. It all makes me happy. I think also maybe that first gummy bear session, being with those people that I grew up listening to, was pretty darn awesome.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, my happiest, like, overwhelming moment was when my agent called and told me I got the part on Muppet Babies. I'll totally never forget that moment. I about lost it. It's a good thing I didn't die, because I actually got to work on the show. I was so excited. I was so excited.
So I have a friend that's a huge Muppets fan. You played Baby Ralph.
Yeah, I did Rolf the dog's voice.
That's awesome.
Baby Rolf.
But, and he mentioned to me the other day something that I've seen so many times and never noticed until he said it, but how Rolf, when he's playing piano, just he can't stand silence. So he always has to fill in, you know, even when there's no words, he's always like, yeah, that's something there. You know,
a little comment. I know. He was one of my favorite Muppets. So to be able to voice him is a dream. Meeting Jim Henson at the session was okay. I guess that, okay, now you're making my brain work, was my happiest moment, because I was a huge Muppet fan. I just was speechless. As a matter of fact, he was there for the first table reading, and obviously I'm imitating him, right? How embarrassing. And I just thought, if I don't do this right, I'm gonna get fired. I don't know what I'm doing. He's sitting right across from me. So we'd get to that part of the script, I'd say, you read it first. Let me hear you read it first. I don't know. I was petrified, but so thrilled. That was my biggest fan moment in my life.
Nice. Did he read it first?
Oh yeah.
Oh, cool.
I think okay, so. Good. I think he did. Maybe after a while, he's like, no, you just read it. But I don't. I remember saying that to him anyway. You know, you can't believe anything I say. Years have gone by and my memory could be just mush. So take everything I say with a grain of salt, everybody, please. Look it up. Google it. Verify. Trust and verify. If you can. Yeah.
Oh, but now we come to my favorite part of the show, which is a little segment I like to call Say What? So if you would indulge me, I've sent you in that PDF there's a little bit of dialogue between Hank and Sheila.
Okay.
If you wouldn't mind, I'll be Hank.
Okay.
And if you'd be Sheila, I'd like to act this out. So this is, again, from that episode I mentioned, the Dragon's Graveyard.
Dragon's Graveyard. Okay.
So Bender has just foiled him. He closed the portal. They were on their way home. And, you know, eventually he took off. And so Hank, who's just had enough, says, that's right. The only chance we have of getting out of this world is if we take care of Bender once and for all.
But how? Nobody can stop Bender. Not even Dungeon Master.
Wrong. There's one thing that can. A dragon. Tiamat.
Okay, well, there's that.
Thank you. That's a dream come true. That's awesome.
Well, good. I'm glad to make you happy.
Well, that could be your Christmas present to me.
Ah, Merry Christmas. I keep Christmas stuff around my house, actually. I have some things that never come down. My friend Kimmy Robertson gave me this bird.
Oh, yeah.
It's a cardinal that lights up and is in a little cage thing that looks like a lamppost light. So that's up all the time at our house.
Nice.
Yeah. Wish you a Merry Christmas. Yes, that's what it plays. I forgot what it plays.
Yeah, I have a snow globe from 2008. That it was like when my wife and I were dating, it was the first ornament or the first, you know, decoration we bought together.
I love snow globes.
Oh, they're amazing. They're great. But it does make me wonder, you know, when it comes to acting, landing the role is half the battle. What do you think the other half of the battle is?
Keeping it. No, I would say landing the role is 95% of the battle.
Gotcha. Okay, it's more than half.
Yeah.
So due to inflation, we're increasing that from 50 to 95.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I think it's very rare that you get kicked off a show. So.
Well, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah. But keeping it, because stuff, you know, I've done stuff that's gone to Canada and I've been replaced. So, and there's not much you can do about that. There's no battle there. There's just surrender.
Well, that's a bummer. It's their loss.
Yeah. Oh, well.
But it's been so much fun talking with you. But, you know, what do you have coming up? What do you want to plug?
Well, I mentioned Tell You Later. That's TELYA. Later, Tell You Later, which that's still happening, and that's kind of fun. I've got friends on the show, and what else is, I got to voice something cool, a new track. How do I say this? I worked on a project for Epcot.
Really? Ooh, yeah. That's going to be fun.
I cannot say.
Right. Yes.
But that should be in the summertime. So that was pretty fun.
That's exciting.
Directing some shows. I'm trying to think. If anybody wants to go to my, like I said, I have workshops. I'm not going to any conventions right now that I can think of. Everything kind of, we started going again, and then things kind of, you know, with what's going on in the world. And I'm sure there's things I should be able to tell you. A show called Great Wolf Lodge, a Great Wolf Pack I've been working on. And I always forget how to answer these questions, but I have a website, katielee.com, and there's, you can go there and find out. I have, we're still doing Adventures in Odyssey, the 35th year on the air. And
wow. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. That's really awesome. So I created some candles. My character on Odyssey, her name is Connie Kendall. And I've created a line of Connie candles because she works in a soda shop. So nice. If there's any fans of Odyssey out there, I've got some chocolate soda ones and raspberry ripple. And yeah, we're going to start to do some merchandise for Tell You Later. Some's on Patreon, but some is going to be, we're going to try to get a shop of that kind of thing. And I don't know, every day something different. A lot of what I do is school curriculum stuff these days, which I love. So I'll get phone calls from people like, hey, I'm in nursing school and I thought I heard you voicing this character. Yeah, that was me. So, yeah, I don't know. I can't, there's nothing to plug but that right now, I guess. And if I forget, I'll tell you later.
Well, we'll be here. But as long as they can find out, as long as they go to your website.
Yeah. Right?
KatieLee.com.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I'm going to plug something else since you asked. My daughter runs a nonprofit for type 1 diabetics. It's called You're Just My Type. And she's been starting to do events for young adults again all over the country. And there's an Instagram and a Facebook page. And if anybody out there isn't part of a community for type 1s, I highly recommend they check it out. It's 43,000 people on Instagram are part of this. And I know it's helped a lot of people. So I'm just going to put in a plug for that because I think community is so important when we're struggling with stuff. So I'm going to put that out there.
All right, go check that out. Definitely, especially if you're looking for someone to help support you and someone that can just be there for you, even just someone that can lend an ear. So go check that out for sure.
Absolutely,
that sounds amazing. It's been a blast talking with you. So thank you.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for letting me bounce off the walls.
And on that note, I'm going to end it by saying,
Bobby, look out!
I could end it that way too. But leave us a review on iTunes. Not only does it help us reach more people, but you also get a free sticker. Don't forget to check out our merch shop on teepublic.com and our brand new website, totallyradchristmas.com, courtesy of Tiz the Podcast Elf, Tom Crow. May fortune smile on you over Christmas time, and may you use your gifts to find your way onwards and out of the realm of Dungeons and Dragons. Later, dudes.
Ooh.